A lot of builders, they'll hand over and then disappear. They don't have that relationship because the communication's never been there. Builders pleading the home, and just to get that builder back to do a minor defect or a fix, never be heard of again. Don't answer their phone.
Why are they running away?
Now, they've engaged a builder that doesn't have the foundations in place that can facilitate that ongoing relationship. People tend to overlook even when they go to... Hey guys, welcome to The Builder's Edge. I'm Norm Wales from Norm Wales Constructions. Now, for me, the whole purpose of this podcast here is to bring a little bit more awareness around the construction industry. I've been feeling for many, many years that there's not enough helpful information out there to support you guys to make the right choice. Now, we are a smaller family independent building company, and we're not here to build everybody's home. But we would definitely love to be able to work with you to facilitate your dream home. But if we don't build your new home, we want you to be able to make the right decision in choosing the right builder for you. So hopefully the information that I'm able to provide through this podcast can be informative and helpful that you can now create your dream home. So I hope you enjoy it, and thanks for watching.
Norm, in your perspective, are all builders the same?
Look, all builders are definitely not the same. Look, I guess that's the benefit, for the consumer, you know, the homeowner there to have that choice with having so many, you know, different array of builders. Unfortunately, in that, you know, different array of builders, you've got good and bad. So you really want to make sure that you're selecting one from the good category.
Mm.
You know, it's highly important that people don't just go thinking all builders are the same. You know, it's no different to your local mechanic. You know, I'm sure people have got their flavours of the month and their favourite mechanic, and there's ones that they probably wouldn't go to. And that's no disrespect to any mechanics out there, but it's the same in the building industry and in every industry, you know. So, you know, it definitely is a bit of a misconception thinking that we're all the same. There's actually building companies out there like myself that highly pride themselves on delivering the utmost best they possibly can for their customers, and they stand by their product, whereas there's others that are just there for a quick cash grab and they're in and out. You know, they're there for the good times but not the long times.
What would be some ways to help identify if you're dealing with a good, reputable builder over somebody who might not be that?
Look, generally speaking, you're going to establish a much better relationship with a smaller owned, family operated, you know, independent builder than a larger, high volume builder or a franchisee's. Like, you know, those sorts of mobs there, it's just a numbers game to them. There's no real personal approach or, you know, anything they really have to sort of hold themselves accountable for. Like, for myself, you know, like, you know, my name is on this business. You know, we are extremely accountable for each and every build that we do. But, you know, we put so much personal pride and effort into each and every build, you know, that's what makes it very unique and so personalized.
What would some red flags be to look out for when approaching a builder?
Look, a few things to look for, you know, when approaching any building company there is, I have always said, follow your gut instinct is, you know, the number one thing. If something, you know, feels off, smells off, it generally ain't going to be the right fit for you. You know, people need to start looking at the early telltale signs on, is this builder or even this company someone that they can see themselves affiliated with? Look around and see, you know, potential customers that are coming in to the actual premises there. Are they like-minded people like yourself? Mm. You know, are these people, you know, having a good experience you know, get online, look at their reviews, do your groundwork.
You mentioned earlier your name is on the business. What does that do for you? How does that make you feel knowing that your name is on the line?
Yeah, look, it holds us accountable to, you know, doing the right thing, whereas, you know, others can hide behind another identity or another larger franchise as such. You know, for me, you know, we went down this path there because we were always going down that road of being very unique and very personalized. And for me, you know, I only want to do our utmost best each and every time. And, you know, for people to see that we're holding ourselves accountable, you know, and our name is out there, you know, it's something that a lot of people wouldn't be as confidently doing because they know they can't necessarily back up what they say they're going to do.
Mm. The term personalized service gets thrown around a lot. What does that – what? Give us an example of what personalized service looks like.
Well, for us, a personalized service is exactly that, that every single person we work with there, everything is purely crafted and designed around them. Mm. No two people are exactly the same. You know, you might like peanut butter, I like Vegemite, the next person likes jam. You know, it's important that you understand that everyone is an individual. Everybody's going to want something a little bit different in their home to make it a home. You know, so it's about developing that level of communication and that rapport with each other that you can openly and honestly talk through all the little hurdles to come up with the perfect outcome.
I would assume, though, that that's more work for you, the builder, right? Having to constantly tailor the experience to each individual customer that comes through.
Yeah, look definitely it's a lot more work. Mm. There's no two doubts about that. But, you know, that's the path and the journey we choose to be on. You know, like it's much easier to be a high-volume builder, you know, or, you know, like these franchise builders, it's just a good business model at the end of the day. But it's very flat and stale too. And the quality control and the consistency that sort of comes with that there, unfortunately, is nowhere near what you're going to get with a custom design building company.
Talk us through the rewards for you. I mean, how does it feel getting to the end, having tailored a personalized experience and knowing that, you know, the average build time, what, 10 months, 6 months?
Yeah, look generally speaking, you know, they can look at it from 16 to 20 weeks, give or take, from a slab being poured. Like, you know, the building journey itself, you know, before you start, some people can be 4 to 6 months. Some people that we've worked with have had a 2 or 3 year plan. So it can be years with different individuals because everyone's on a different journey and we understand that. But look, it's very rewarding, honestly, mate. I love it. I truly, truly do. Like, and so does my team, you know, like where it keeps you fresh. Mm. You know, you're on your toes all the time. You know, you're adapting to change and different circumstances there. And, you know, for us to be able to create someone's dream home and to see their emotions at the end of the build, you know, it's very empowering for us. You know, like that there makes it all worthwhile. You know, that just you hand those keys over and then they know it's theirs. But, you know, it's very rewarding for us to be able to share that with them as well, that we've created something uniquely special for them and their family as well.
What does that do for you? I mean, you get to that point, they're all, you know, tears of joy. I can think of past experiences where we're filming in the handover and there was literally tears of joy there. Yeah. What does that do for you as a builder? How does that make you feel? Does that give you drive to keep kicking goals? Or and then also, how long does that last for, that euphoric stage?
Yeah, look, so we were beautiful relationships, you know, with our customers there, and we're always going back and keeping in touch with them there. And, you know, the most important thing I make our clients aware of is that, you know, at the end of the day, we've handed a home over, but the journey doesn't stop there. Mm. We're always here, you know. So
I'm going to be doing this for many, many more years still. And, you know, I want them to know that we're still here to stand by our product and, you know, to be able to share, you know, that journey. You know, it definitely does empower us to continue on and keep doing what we do, because there's no feeling like it that you can replicate that. And the best thing of all is that every handover and experience is so uniquely in itself there that it creates a special little piece of yourself that you do reflect back on, and, you know, you have those aha moments at time, and, you know, it's just, you know, very, very rewarding.
Mm. Bringing this back to the question, are all builders the same? Talking about the post-construction and after the build, how would that service differ from perhaps a builder who's perhaps like yourself, more reputable, versus somebody who perhaps isn't as established or reputable?
Yeah, look, it's, you know, a good question that they're like, and unfortunately, a lot of builders there, they'll hand over and then they disappear. You know, that they don't have that after sales, you know, rapport. You know, they don't have that relationship because the communication's never been there. You know, like all, you know, of our customers there, we're always there. You know, with, like, so we're not going anywhere with that there. And, you know, there's many stories, you know, that you hear of builders completing a home, and just to get that builder back to do a minor defect or a fix, never be heard of again. Don't answer their phones.
Why would that be the case? Why are they running away? What's going on there?
They're just not interested. Mm. You know what I mean? You know, look, and at times too, like in their defense, you know, like that they may be busy and things happen, but it's the reality of that people have now, they've engaged a builder that doesn't have the foundations in place there that can facilitate that ongoing relationship. You know, and these are things that people tend to overlook, you know, even when they go to, you know, start the building process. It's not about just the start and how the construction is going to go. It's about how it's done after as well. It's the complete package that they need to be overlooking.
Yeah. So wrapping this up, what advice would you give to homeowners to help them navigate the process of selecting the right builder for them who aligns with their needs and their expectations?
Yeah, when selecting the right builder, it really needs to – it's very important that they understand that the communication and that rapport and that they can see themselves developing a very close bond, you know, and a clear understanding of communication between the whole network involved. If they're starting to feel that there's no, you know, real easy approach, you know, with a specific firm, you know, that could be a very telltale sign that it's not going to be an enjoyable building experience either. So, yeah, just looking for that open communication lines and, you know, obviously going with your gut feeling as well. I do believe your stomach can tell you 1,000 words at times.
Mm, I love that. Well, before we wrap this up, I do have one more question for you from our Get to Know You jar.
Okay.
Let's see where we end up with here. Let's have a look. Jeez, this is going to get your creative juices flowing. If you could turn any mundane activity into an Olympic sport, what would it be?
A mundane activity. All right, well, keeping with the construction theme, I'm going to have to call it painting.
Painting? How would you compete, as in painting walls?
I don't think those guys get enough credit. You know, it's a very tedious task, cutting in and prepping and the effort that those guys go to. I think they're the unsung heroes, the old painters. Like, they've got to make everything look Mickey Mouse, you know, and it's not easy. You know, like, my hat goes off to our guys that do our work. They do a marvellous job. But, yeah, as I said, no disrespect, it's a mundane task. It's backbreaking. It's hard. You know, it's a task that a lot of people overlook. So I think we might make painting an Olympic sport.
Well, you heard it here first.
That's it.
No. Well, as always, Norm, thank you.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate it.